Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, we're going to talk about Max Muncy, Joe Kelly, and the mess that will be made with the schedule if some regular season games are canceled. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, just subscribe in all those places and never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time listening or watching, my name is Jeff Snyder and my co-host is Vince Samperio, although we're doing a split episode today, so I will be with you for the first half. Vince will be with you for the second half. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans just like you, and we've also both spent time in the locker room and the press box covering the Dodgers, so we're not quite insiders, which is a good thing, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. So please, again, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and or on YouTube. I know everybody says that. It means a lot to us if you subscribe so that you get our content every day. And let's talk about some Dodgers. Today, I put out a call for some questions from our listeners. Always want to make sure we have things to talk about, but I want to make sure that we're talking about the things that are on the listeners' minds. And this time, things lined up pretty well. Stuff that we plan on talking about anyway, we got some questions about, and maybe one or two things that we didn't get questions about, we'll cover. I'm just going to jump right in. Got a couple questions that are kind of related. Bison626 on Twitter asks, who starts at first base for us this season? And then our buddy Pat Dwyer at The Real PJ Dwyer. He says, thoughts on Max Muncy? I saw a report recently that things are going well and that he'll be swinging a bat soon. Those two statements seem to be at odds with each other. I lump these together because Max Muncy is definitely, if the season started today, Max Muncy wouldn't be the first baseman because he's not swinging a bat yet. But if the season started on time, we would expect Max Muncy to probably be the first baseman. A lot can happen once the lockout ends, specifically regarding Freddie Freeman. I really, really believe there's a pretty good chance the Dodgers sign Freddie Freeman. If that's the case, Freddie Freeman will be the Dodgers starting first baseman. That's kind of what I'm hoping for at this point. I've been on the Freeman train since the regular season, long before a lot of people realized there was a possibility. I've wanted Freddie Freeman for a long time. I love Freddie Freeman as a player, as a person. Everything about Freddie Freeman as a Dodger makes me happy when I think about it. So that's what I want. As for Max Muncy, Pat's question about whether those are conflicting statements, him saying he's doing well and that he'll be swinging a bat soon. I get what Pat's asking. I don't necessarily think those are conflicting statements. Just considering where we are in the calendar, it's February 24th. It's been, 4.5 months, I think, since pushing 5 months since Muncy hurt his elbow. And we found out earlier this offseason that it sounds like it was actually a torn UCL. Muncy said that. I don't know if he was just throwing that out. Don't know if it was a full tear. It's not his throwing arm, and so there's no need to do Tommy John surgery on it necessarily. It's interesting that we found out much later. He just casually mentioned, a torn UCL takes a while to heal. And so it takes longer. I think we're used to, when we're talking about torn UCLs, we're used to thinking about pitchers and Tommy John surgery. And it takes, a year at least, usually more like 15 months for a pitcher to come back. But that's to come back to throwing 100 miles an hour and all that stuff being built up to pitch in a game. Dustin May is already throwing and, he had his Tommy John surgery, 8 months ago, maybe. But it's different for a position player, especially when the injury is not to the throwing arm. Corey Seager missed time with Tommy John surgery several years ago and missed basically a whole season. I guess that was 2018. But that was his throwing arm. And so I don't know the mechanics. When I think about The fact that Muncy throws right-handed and bats left-handed makes this an interesting situation, just because, you know, it's not his throwing arm, and it's also not his, like, I feel like a lot of the power comes from, I feel like there's more strain for a left-handed hitter. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm kind of mimicking a motion, trying to feel it. But I feel like when you are swinging a bat, it's your bottom hand that gets more work on the elbow. The top hand is more for control. And so it might be a quicker recovery for Muncy, or a quicker time back to hitting, because it is his top hand when he's hitting and not his throwing arm. Might be the best case scenario if you're going to tear your UCL. I don't know if that's totally right, but it makes sense to me just when I'm feeling it, thinking about it physiologically. And because of that, you know, what Pat's asking is, can things really be going well if he's not even swinging yet? You know, that gets into another thing about who Max Muncy is. And I think maybe we're thinking about Cody Bellinger. You know, Bellinger had his shoulder injury after 2020, you know, in the postseason, had surgery after the season, and was not really ready for spring training last year, and never got on track. He was just getting on track, and then broke his leg, and, you know, just injury after injury. But, you know, the off-season shoulder surgery impacted Bellinger's spring training. And so maybe that's in Pat's head. I don't claim to know what Pat's thinking. You know, if we're thinking about Bellinger, the couple big differences between the Muncy situation and the Bellinger situation, one is it is his elbow and not his shoulder. And Bellinger, it was his front shoulder, his bottom hand shoulder. And so there's a lot of, you know, shoulders are tricky things. And it's hard to get your power back. We've seen it with Adrian Gonzalez in the past, other guys who've had shoulder injuries and never really returned to what they were. So it wasn't surprising that Bellinger took longer. The other big difference between Muncy and Bellinger is Muncy's swing is simpler than Bellinger's, simply by virtue of the fact that Muncy's five or six inches shorter than Bellinger. He's more compact. He's a squat is a nice way of putting it, I guess. He's kind of built like one of those rock trolls on Frozen. His swing is more direct, more simple. There's not as many moving parts. Same number of moving parts, but they don't move as much, I guess you should say. And so Muncy's swing, I feel like once he is swinging, it's going to take him less time to be swinging well than it might take a guy like Bellinger, who has more moving parts or bigger moving parts and kind of a history of tinkering with his swing anyway, not being comfortable in the batter's box. Muncy's swing doesn't really change. He figured it out before he came to the Dodgers, or when he came to the Dodgers, and he's basically been the same guy ever since. And so I'm optimistic that once Muncy starts swinging, he'll get ready pretty quick. And so, you know, maybe the delay in spring training is helping him. Obviously, if they come to an agreement this weekend, like I hope they do, spring training starts next week. And so maybe Muncy's not even ready to start spring training. But I would hope that 2 or 3 weeks of spring training would be enough for him and he can be ready to go opening day. So that's my answer on Muncy. And my answer on who's playing first base is either Muncy or Freddie Freeman, probably. Maybe Edwin Rios. I don't know. I guess we'll see. I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk a little bit about the schedule and the mess that it will be if any regular season games are canceled. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and please keep it Locked On Dodgers. Let's talk about Built Bar for a minute. You know how much I love Built Bar. If you've ever watched this or listened to it before, you know I love Built Bar. If you haven't, I'll tell you why I love it, because it's delicious and it's healthy. That's basically all there is to it. It tastes as good as a candy bar, if not better, and every Built Bar, it's covered in chocolate, but it still manages to be low calorie, low sugar, low carb, high protein, high fiber. All the good lows, all the good highs. They also make Built Bar Puffs that are like chocolate covered marshmallows. They're delicious. They're also all the same goods and bads. You know, low calorie, low sugar, low carb, high protein, high fiber. Everything you want, none of the stuff you don't. They focus on flavor first, and then they make it healthy, and they do a great job at both. So go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you will get 15% off your order. That's, again, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
And also go to rockauto.com because this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now possible for your local chain auto parts store dealership to have all the parts on hand that you need. So why would you want to waste your time, waste your gas? Gas is expensive right now. Driving to a store, they don't even have the part you need. They're going to get it shipped to their store, and then you're going to have to go back, drive again, pick it up from them. Why deal with all that? Why don't you just go to rockauto.com, check everything you out for your car or truck, get the part you need delivered directly to you, and it's going to be cheaper. It's going to be sometimes up to 100% cheaper than the same parts from a chain store or car dealership. Because rockauto.com is a family business. They've been serving people online for over 20 years, and they've always had reliably low prices for every single customer. You don't have to be a mechanic. You don't have to be anybody special. Everybody gets the same price at rockauto.com, and that's all you got to do. So head over to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck, and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
All right, we're back. I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. I also want to tell you a little bit about Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. I want to talk a little bit about the schedule. There was a word came down the other day that if they don't, you know, Vince and I talked yesterday about a deadline is a deadline. Thanks, Commissioner. And part of that statement was if they don't have an agreement by the 28th, the start of the regular season will be delayed and games will be canceled. And they mentioned, basically they said games will not be made up. They will just, whenever the lockout is done and they do spring training and they're ready to start the regular season, they'll just pick up the schedule wherever it was. Now, looking at the Dodgers schedule, in the first month of the season, the Dodgers have 7 games against the Rockies and 6 games against the Diamondbacks. That's 13 games against the bottom feeders of the NL West in the first month of the season. So if, hypothetically, they were to lose a month of the season, the Dodgers would lose a disproportionate number of games against those bottom feeders because of the schedule mess. You'd also have situations where whenever they did pick it up, you would have a bunch of teams that didn't have the same number of games played. It happens all the time. Whenever there's a work stoppage in 1981, teams didn't all play the same number of games. In 94, they didn't. 95, I think they did redo the schedule. And so every team played the same number of games. But this year, they wouldn't. You'd have teams in the same division. You would probably have a division where a team ended up winning their division by half a game, and the second-place team played one fewer game. And the second-place team would have a legitimate gripe about if we had gotten one more game and we had won it, we would have been tied. And so there's got to be a lot of ugliness like that, and it's frustrating. And just looking at it specifically for the Dodgers, you know, they like I said, the 13 games against the D-backs and the Giants. They also have a series against the Reds in that first month, who the Reds might be bottom feeder-ish. You know, they've traded some guys, and they might be hopefully trading some more to the Dodgers this year. I think there's a series against the Twins in that opening month that could be, you know, the Dodgers had a pretty easy April schedule. Have a pretty easy April schedule. I'm not going to give up on it quite yet. But it would stack the deck a little bit against them. I'm not too concerned about it. I do think the Dodgers are the best team in the division. We're actually going to spend some time in the next couple weeks talking about how the Dodgers stack up with the rest of the division at each position. We're going to spend time on several different episodes covering, you know, the division at a certain position. And then we'll wrap it all up with division previews in a few weeks. I do think the Dodgers are the best team in the division. And even with the deck stacked against them like that a little bit, I think they'll be fine. But it would be nice to have that soft April schedule and jump out to an 8-game lead in April or something. You know, maybe it wouldn't be 8 games. Who knows if the Padres are going to show up this year and the Giants, you know, who knows how much of a fluke they were last year. But, you know, just looking at the Dodgers schedule, it's a little bit frustrating. It's going to be frustrating no matter what if we lose regular season games, but it's going to be really, really frustrating for me simply because there are those – no game is easy. Every game you're playing another major league team, but some of the softer parts of the schedule are at risk for the Dodgers, and that kind of sucks. And that's kind of that's the nature of the beast when you're dealing with a work stoppage, because – you can't have all the teams playing all the other same teams at the same time, because that's not how schedules work. You don't have time turners like Hermione Granger in Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, you know? You know what I mean? So that's how it works. It doesn't make it fair or unfair. It just is a thing. Hopefully the players and the owners will come to an agreement this weekend and we won't have to deal with that. That's about all I have for today. Vince is going to come along in a minute. I know he's going to talk about Joe Kelly, some stuff that Joe Kelly had to say. He'll probably answer another question or two that we had from our listeners. So thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. If you haven't subscribed yet, especially on YouTube, we're really trying to get to 1,000 subscribers. We're at about 821 right now, I think, as I'm recording this. And the 1,000 subscribers is kind of a magical number on YouTube. And so it's really, really important to us to get to that number. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do. And obviously check us out every day, because we are here every single weekday morning. Next month, it'll be 3 years that we've been doing Locked On Dodgers, and we have never missed an episode. We've done at least 5 episodes every week for 35 months so far. And we love doing it. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. And Vince will be along in a minute.
Football season might be over and baseball season has yet to start, but basketball season is full steam ahead for both pro and college hoops. We got a big tournament and playoffs coming up for both of those leagues. And for all the latest odds, totals, player performance, props, to anything else you need betting-wise, betonline.net has got you covered. They're the number one spot for all your spreads betting needs and the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. It's not just basketball. BetOnline.net is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds. Right to any other sports going on that you can think of that you would want to bet on, BetOnline.net has you covered. So head to the website today, BetOnline.net, on your laptop or mobile device, and learn about all the trends and action going on for this season for 2022. Check it all out. BetOnline, where the game starts. Yo, 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 Dodger fans, Vince Samperio here to close out the episode. And we're talking a little bit about Joe Kelly, who was on AM 570 the other day and was talking about coming back to the Dodgers and was basically saying that he wants to come back to the Dodgers. And we know Joe Kelly, the Dodgers had a $12 million option on him this year. They declined it in favor of a $4 million buyout. Saved themselves $8 million. But then Joe Kelly was on LA 570 LA Sports, and he said that there's mutual interest. He said, obviously, I want to come back and be a Dodger, and the interest is mutual, so we've got to make something happen. Which the real only news there is that the interest is mutual. We would imagine, you would imagine that Joe Kelly would want to come back to the Dodgers. Why wouldn't he? He seemed to enjoy his time here. He had a nice role, you know, pitching in front of the LA crowd is always fun. And, you know, he's had some big moments and he's a fan favorite here in Los Angeles. So why not want to come back? The fact that the interest is mutual I wouldn't say interesting, but, you know, they could benefit from one more arm. They do already have a pretty strong back of the bullpen, but adding one more arm wouldn't be the worst thing. You got a couple guys that are like more fringe guys, or you're banking on Alex Vesia, Phil Bickford to replicate what they've done before. With Joe Kelly, obviously it's always going to be a mixed bag, but ever since he got healthy after we found out that he needed surgery and didn't really have full control of his arm for 1 year, he was pretty solid for the Dodgers last year. And, you know, gives him somebody that you kind of know what you're going to get for the most part, assuming he's healthy. And if he is healthy, you know, he did come out of his last game and, you know, didn't come back. And, you know, we weren't sure exactly what happened. He has had some interesting, you know, injuries in the past. But if he's healthy and ready to go, I would assume the Dodgers would be down to sign him. I would think it would have to be less than $8 million, because then they could have just accepted the option earlier in the year. But yeah, with Kelly Jansen, I don't think he's going to come back. You know, Corey Knebel already left. Jimmy Nelson won't be back. And they do have a kind of a need for another right arm. And Joe Kelly can be that guy. So hopefully, I wouldn't mind. If you would ask me after year one, Joe Kelly's done after year three. If you would ask me after year two, Joe Kelly's probably still done after year three. And now you're asking me after year three. And, you know, I want Joe Kelly back. So we'll see what happens there. The other thing that Joe Kelly talked about in that interview, he talked a little bit about the video breakdown of the at-bat between him and Carlos Correa after he struck him out and he made the little face that we all know and love. And then he said that the John Boy breakdown of it, he said he got 99% of it right for sure. He's like, I've seen it. I've seen most of the stuff people show me. He probably only missed maybe three words. Honestly, he got everything pretty spot on. It's almost like he called me and did an interview. He was really good. It was pretty spot on. So if you want to watch that and see what he's talking about, just look for John Boy. I'm pretty sure it's on his YouTube or maybe on his Twitter. But you have to do a little more digging on Twitter. But yeah, John Boy does those breakdowns where he kind of reads lips and uses the different angles to try to find out what people are saying in situations. And apparently Joe Kelly said it was right. So that's what we got there. We did have a few questions left from listeners. I'm going to take two of them, which are very similar. And it's going to be one from our pal Kevin at BlueGoon82. He says, if Clayton Kershaw shocks us all and retires, who do they pivot towards to help the rotation? He mentions Carlos Rodon, Yusei Kikuchi, or another option C. And then Zach at ZKD15 underscore says, who do we target to fill out the last couple spots of the rotation? So Kevin used the right word, because if Kershaw doesn't come back, it would be a shock, just based on the fact of what he said in an interview a few weeks ago when, you know, he wanted the lockout to be over and be able to get back to spring training, and he made it seem like he was going to play in 2022. It's not a guarantee that it's going to be with the Dodgers, but I don't know. Just the way everything has shaken out, I think if Kershaw does come back, he's playing with the Dodgers, and it seems all but a formality at this point. But that could be me reading too much into certain things. But yeah, if Kershaw shocks us all, and you know the Dodgers already kind of need some help in the rotation, and we've talked about a handful of guys so far this offseason. We talked about Carlos Rodon, who Kevin mentioned. We talked about Yusei Kikuchi, who he also mentioned. We've talked about Zach Greinke. We've talked about I think that might be it, but there's not a lot of guys that are going to help the top of your rotation. As we talked about, there's going to be a lot of guys that help the bottom of your rotation, if that's what you want to call it. But yeah, Carlos Rodon is the one. He's 29 years old. Obviously, he had a really good year last year before the injury. You would imagine that he would be able to replicate that success, or at least be able to replicate the stuff, and the Dodgers could help replicate the success. He'd be a guy, I'm not sure. You know, some of the big names didn't really get big money this offseason in terms of starting pitching. You know, like, not crazy amounts of money. I mean, Robbie Ray came off of Cy Young. He signed the 5-year deal with the Mariners, but it wasn't for, like, a crazy amount of money. You had Marcus Stroman, signed a pretty decent deal. Like, nothing that's going to break the bank for the Dodgers. Even Kevin Gausman signed a deal that didn't break the bank. You know, other than Max Scherzer, who signed a crazy deal, everybody else kind of signed not wild deals, nothing that would put it out of the Dodgers' price range. So Carlos Rodon would fit in that role. I'd imagine he'd get like 15 to 20 mil a year, maybe a little bit less than some of those other guys on the higher end got 20 mil. He might get 15 to 18 mil a year. And it's just a matter of what we know what the Dodgers want. It's just a matter of what Rodon wants. Does he want, you know, a one-year deal to rebuild his value and try to get big money? Does he want a long-term deal if he can get it, but maybe for a little bit less money than he would get? Does he want, you know, maybe a one-in-one deal where, you know, it could benefit him to sign for a year, have a good year, and then hit free agency? Or if he doesn't have a good year, he has another year guaranteed. It's just a matter of that. I do like Carlos Rodon. I do think he can help the Dodgers for sure. You know, if you're taking Kershaw out of the equation, then obviously the next the next one after that, you go pretty far down, and you go down to Zach Greinke. And, you know, we've talked about Zach Greinke. If he's your number five starter, then it's not too bad. But if he's your number four starter, you're starting to push it. Right now, as it sits, it would be Walker Buehler and Julio Diaz. And then, you know, you can slot Andrew Heaney into that third spot if you want. You could slot Tony Gonsolin into that third spot if you want. You could slot, you know, anybody, I guess, really. And if you had to slot Zane Greinke into that spot, I guess it could be worse. But it also, you know, Greinke is a guy where he's a veteran. You're getting him because he's going to give you 5-6 innings every time out. He's going to pitch every fifth day, and he's going to be, you know, keep you in the ball game. He might not, you know, he'll have games where he goes 6-7 innings and no runs, and he'll have games where he goes, you know, 4-5 innings and gives up 4-5 runs. And it's just, you know, that's the mixed bag you're going to get. But at the end of the day, or at the end of the season, you're going to get 150 to 200 innings from Zach Greinke with around an ERA probably of 4 or 4-5. So he's going to keep you in games, and that's all you can really ask for from the back end of the rotation, but it just depends where you're at. You say Kikuchi's, you know, we talked about him. He's an interesting one. He had a really good first half last year, was an all-star, and then kind of fell apart in the second half, and he's a guy who has the stuff. He's 31 years old, not too old. He has the stuff. I'm sure the Dodgers will be able to, you know, unlock a couple things here and there just based on what they've done before with sequencing and pitch selection and stuff like that. So, you know, he's a guy that they could maybe get on a little bit of a lower end deal and could surprise you. And you know, especially not having to be an ace, being the third, fourth guy in a rotation. You know, that I don't know if he felt any pressure in Seattle, but he wouldn't have that pressure here. He'd be able to kind of relax and, you know, pitch well. And you're going to be, you know, when you come over here as a starting pitcher, for the most part, you're expecting, oh, I'm going to be backed by the Dodger offense. They're going to be putting up some runs, or they should be putting up some runs. And that also helps you pitch a little bit better, pitch a little more comfortably instead of, you know, pitching in a game where if you give up a run, you might lose. So that's where we're at on the ones mentioned. Other than that, we talked about this the other day. There's not a lot of guys. I'll run through the list of just based on WAR last year starting pitchers. You got Tyler Anderson, Michael Pineda, Danny Duffy, who won't pitch until June. You got Johnny Cueto. You got Brett Anderson. You got Zach Davies, Drew Smyly, J-Hap. So there's not too much beyond that. Danny Duffy would have been cool, but again, he's not pitching until June. Doesn't really help the Dodgers early in the year. I guess theoretically, if they were like, okay, we'll go early in the year, we can get away with it. We'll have Duffy come back in June. You know, Dustin May could come back in July or August. And then, you know, you could make a deal at the deadline, and then you can really ramp up. That's very possible. But as I see it now, you know, I'm assuming Kershaw is going to come back. So you got your top three. Andrew Heaney should fit into that 4 or 5. And then you got Tony Gonsolin, Ryan Pepiot, Andre Jackson, Mitch White, and David Price to a certain extent, all for that fifth spot slot, and then, you know, maybe a swing relief type role. So while the Dodgers aren't completely, you know, out of, you know, they're not the worst rotation in baseball by any means. They have two Cy Young candidates at the 1 and 2. But, it, you know, they just don't have that necessarily. They don't have that depth that they've had in terms of quality arms. They do have depth of potential, though. Andre Jackson, Mitch White, Ryan Pepiot, that's all potential. We've seen those guys all do well. We saw Jackson and Mitch White do well enough in the majors. We've seen Pepiot do well enough in the minors, and that changeup has already been graded one of the best changeups in baseball, and he's not even pitching the majors yet. So I think, and I've said this a few times this offseason, I think they go with figuring it out between those guys. Maybe Gonsolin is over all the injuries from last year, and he's ready to go. He was great in 2020. He was still, numbers-wise, still decent in 2021, but just, you know, didn't quite have what he showed in 2020. It's very well possible that he's a number four starter or even number three starter, depending, you know, if Kershaw comes back or not. And it's set, and the Dodgers will be good to go. So I think it's a matter of they're going to see what they got, see what they can do, and if they need a pitcher, they'll go get them at the deadline. And, you know, I don't think that's the wrong way to go about it. Like I said, you do have an offense that should be putting up at least 4 or 5 runs a game on average. That should be enough to win you games. You got a bullpen that's really strong. You got, you know, you got good arms in the back end of the bullpen. So if your starters can give you 5, maybe get into the 6th, then you're going to be, you know, a good spot for most of these games. And I do think that they want to avoid what they did last year in the sense of using a bullpen game every fifth day for like a month, and at one point using two bullpen games every 5 days for like a few weeks at a time. So I think they're going to loosen the reins a little bit and give guys like Mitch White, Andre Jackson, and Ryan Pepio a little bit more of a leash in terms of, all right, go show us what you can do. And as what we saw last year, you know, Mitch White had some good outings, and mostly in relief. Andre Jackson had a couple of decent outings that showed that he could, you know, hold his own potentially in the majors. And, you know, Ryan Pepio, we've been waiting for a year now, so hopefully we see him up there. So I think that's where they sit. I don't think if they'll go after a free agent, you know, a Greinke type would fit. Rodon's a little bit higher end, but I still think he would be worth it if they can get him, you know, in that $15 to $18 million range year for maybe 3 or 4 years or less. So we'll see. It's going to be a frenzy once, and, you know, mentioned this before, it's going to be a frenzy once the lockout is over. A bunch of guys are going to sign, and it's one of those where maybe somebody that thought they were going to sign somewhere and doesn't end up signing there, and then maybe they're out of luck and they end up signing with the Dodgers for cheaper. Who knows? But that's all we got for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. We are free and available on all platforms, and on YouTube you can watch us. We'll be back next week. Well, it would be around the deadline time, so we'll see if there's a deal by then. If not, we will see what the ramifications of no deal would be. Jeff will be with you the first two days of the week next week. I'll be out of town on vacation. So make sure to check out Jeff next week and make your second listen of the day, Locked On MLB with Sully. He brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues, past and present. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. If you want to find us, we are on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or send us a text, you can do so at 323-863-5625. Or you can always send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Text my device, play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. Have a good one.